Good morning, friends and neighbors. This is Pastor Craig Heilman, welcoming you to another edition of Study His Word Radio. We're not going to do our study in Ephesians this morning, but instead we're going to have an interview. My guest is not here yet, but he should be here momentarily. We're going to be talking to a local Marion resident who is a musician, and he's a musician in a Christian rock band. So we'll get started with that here in just a few minutes. In the meantime, I just want to remind everybody that if you go to our website, studyhiswordradio.org, you can submit questions, you can submit comments, you can submit prayer requests, and I will answer your questions on the air. We'll pray for you throughout the week and on our show. Also, too, if you go to the station's website, wwgh1071.com, and go to the archive page, you can listen to any of our previous shows. Just click on the archive page, just click on the Study His Word Radio, and it'll give you a drop down, and you can pick the day. And you can listen to our previous studies in Ephesians. You can listen to the interview I had with a missionary. I also had an interview with a retired four-star general of the United States Air Force. So a lot of things you can listen to there. So again, thank you for joining us this morning. And like I said, my guest should be here momentarily. So I thought in the couple minutes, he's in the process of running from his church to the radio studio so he can do the interview. And he's in the praise band at his church, and they start at 11. And then as soon as he's done playing, he has his pastor's permission to skip the rest of the service and come down here to the radio station. He doesn't need a note from his mom. So I thought in the couple minutes that we had here waiting for Barry to get here, just kind of cover some interesting facts, a little bit of Bible trivia for those of us out there. Did you know that over 100 million copies of the Bible are sold each year, which makes it the all-time number one selling book in the history of the world? Did you know that the Bible, the entire Bible, has been translated into 532 different languages, and it has been partially translated into 2,883 different languages? Now, when they say different languages, that also covers a lot of different dialects, as you know, and a lot of languages have different dialects of that language. So altogether, there's been 532 languages that the Bible has been fully translated, and 2,883 that it's partially translated. Did you know the King James Bible contains 788,250 words? Now, what I want to know is, just my own curiosity is, how long did it take somebody to sit down and count that? And at what point did you go 431,291, 431, was it 31 or 32,000? Oh, well, I better start all over again. So, I don't know. I just find it rather interesting that somebody actually counted that. But anyway, 788,258 words. There are 31,102 verses in the Bible. There are 1,189 chapters in the Bible. And it's comprised of 66 books. That's the easy one to count the 66 books. The longest book in the Bible is Psalm 119. The shortest book in the Bible is Psalm 117, and it has just two verses. According to a survey, and I don't really know who did the survey, but according to the survey, a survey that was done in 2014, that nearly 8 in 10 Americans, that would be 80% of the population, nearly 8 in 10 Americans regard the Bible as either the literal word of God or as an inspired word of God. Which that number is actually higher than what I thought it would be. It's good that it's that high, but I actually didn't think that the number would be quite that high. But that's what that survey said. Did you know there are no original writings of the Bible that exist today? In other words, all of the original writings are no longer in existence. However, there are many, many copies of the original writings that date very close in time to the original writings. For instance, we know that the New Testament was written in the first 80 years after Christ, and that there are many copies of that original writing that date just decades or a century after the original was written. So there are some that are very close in age, but no original writings exist. The number one, well, actually, let's do the top three. The top three highlighted books of all time on Kindle. I know a lot of people, Kindle is a very popular way of reading books. The top three highlighted books of all time on Kindle are number three, The Hunger Games. Number two, Steve Jobs by Walter Isaacson. And number one, you guessed it, The Holy Bible by Crossway Bibles. John Wycliffe produced the first translation of the entire Bible from the Latin Vulgate into English. However, after he died, the Catholic Church exhumed and burned his corpse as punishment for his translation. Another famous person from the same time period, William Tyndale. William Tyndale produced the first printed edition of the New Testament in English. He was later burned at the stake for his efforts. It was rough back then. The first authorized Bible printed in English is the Great Bible of 1539. That was the first authorized Bible printed in English, the Great Bible, 1539. King Henry VIII of England declared that it should be read aloud during the church services in the Church of England. Now here's one for you. China. China is not only the largest producer of textiles and manufactured goods in the world, China is also the country that is the largest producer of the Bible, which is kind of interesting if you understand what is going on in China as far as how the Chinese government persecutes, tortures, and jails Christians. The Chinese government also persecutes, tortures, and puts Muslims in re-education camps. So it's just kind of interesting that on the one hand they're treating Christians one way, and on the other hand they're out there shipping the Bible out more than anybody else. I think it probably has something to do with money. let's see. The Geneva Bible. The Geneva Bible is the first Bible to use numbered verses. Prior to the Geneva Bible, none of the verses were numbered. It was just like any other book. The Geneva Bible is the first Bible to use numbered verses. It is also the Bible that Shakespeare used, and it is the one that the pilgrims brought to America in 1620. Now, I've often heard people say that, you know, when they talk about it, it's your preachers that are King James and nothing else. And I've heard more than one King James and nothing else preacher say, that was the Bible that the pilgrims brought. Well, it wasn't. It actually wasn't. They actually brought the Geneva Bible. But I guess, you know, we're not right all the time. let's see here. Oh, this I found to be very, very interesting. When you stop and think about it, that 100 million copies of the Bible are sold every year, then this next piece of trivia that I'm going to tell you would make sense. It's just when you first hear it, you just kind of scratch your head. The Bible is the most commonly stolen book in the world. Now, they attribute that to the fact that there are so many free ones that, you know, anytime you go into a hotel or motel, there's almost always one in the drawer. And so they attribute that to the fact that there are so many Bibles out there available that's why it's the most stolen book in the world. But maybe they were just borrowing it. All right, let's see here. I found this to be fascinating. Bob Marley. Bob Marley was buried with a stalk of marijuana. No surprise there. His red Gibson Les Paul guitar. No surprise there. And a Bible. I would have not guessed that, but Bob Marley was buried with marijuana, his guitar, and a Bible. Unfortunately, I don't think he's using any of them now that he's passed away. Let's see. They say that, by the way, I mentioned that Shakespeare used the Geneva Bible. That was the Bible that he used. And he referred to the Bible a lot, or used a lot of inspiration from the Bible in his writings. If you're very familiar with Shakespeare's writings, you'll see a lot of things that he's quoted or paraphrased, is probably a better word, paraphrased from the Bible. But anyhow, speaking of Shakespeare, they believe that he was one of the 50-some scholars that most likely helped in the translation for the King James Version. Oh, let's see here. Well, we know that, as I told you, the Bible is the best-selling book in history. It sells 100 million copies a year, and they estimate at this point that there have been over 5 billion copies of the Bible sold, which is amazing when you stop and think about it. Let's see. Jesus was not an only child. He had at least 4 brothers who are mentioned by name in the Bible, and at least 2 unnamed sisters. All right. The Gutenberg Bible. The Gutenberg Bible was the first book to be printed using movable metal type. And the man who did it was Gutenberg, and he invented the press with the movable type. It was called the Gutenberg Press. And so the first thing he printed was a Bible, which is why we call it the Gutenberg Bible. I found this to be fascinating too. In 2011, author Brandon Powell Smith published The Brick Bible, which contains recreations of Bible scenes all made with Lego bricks. So he publishes this Bible, and, you know, we've all seen Bibles that have, you know, scenes in them, whether it be like famous Renaissance painters or another artist's illustrations, whatever. But this guy built out of Legos all these different Bible scenes and put them in this brick Bible. And Sam's Club, as soon as this book was published, Sam's Club promptly banned the book for objectionable images. I find that I that's one of those things that I've got to find out more. I mean, I've got to get a copy of this brick Bible, because I want to see these Lego scenes. I want to see what was so objectionable about them that they would pull it out of Sam's Club. It's interesting. The most expensive book in the world is the translation of the Psalms, the biblical Psalms. It was called the Bay Psalm Book, which was sold for over $14 million. It is the first book printed in America, and was the Puritans' attempt to make their translation of the Old Testament book. And it was sold in 2014 for over $14 million. The world's smallest Bible can fit on the tip of a pen. Scientists etched the 1.2 million letters. Now, see, this is, we were talking about how many words, you know, 780,000 words and all that. Well, there's 1.2 million letters in the Old Testament. So scientists etched the 1.2 million letters of the Old Testament on a tiny silicone disc, which they call the Nano Bible. And I read somewhere that you need like some kind of special microscope just to read the thing. So, I mean, it's fascinating, it's interesting, but I don't know. I just, sometimes I say the scientists had nothing better to do than to do that. I mean, I no disrespect to the Bible, but I mean, I'm just, I don't know. Let's make the smallest Bible in the world. Oh, well, okay. The world's largest Bible weighs 1,094 pounds. So we go from this one that you need a microscope to read that can fit on the tip of a pen to the heaviest, largest. The largest Bible weighs 1,094 pounds. It was built in 1930. The book is 43.5 inches tall, and when it's laid open, it has a width of 98 inches. That's a big Bible. I'm guessing a Bible that big is probably in large print. You probably don't need your glasses on to read that one. Let's see. The last word in the Bible is amen, which if you've read the book of Revelation, you probably already knew that. And this one I didn't know. Here again, somebody did their research that I guess nearly all of the villains in the Bible that have hair color mentioned have red hair. Now, who would have ever thought? I don't know. That's just one of those things that I just would have never guessed. So there you go. There's some interesting facts, a little bit of trivia about the Bible. I got a couple more here. Let's see. How many English versions of the Bible are there? Versions being different translations, paraphrases, things like that. There are currently about 58 English language versions of the Bible. When I was talking about the most expensive one, it sold, it was actually in 2013. I think I had my year wrong there. And yeah, it's an electron microscope that you need to read the this aluminum disc. I'm still having trouble wrapping my head around the fact that it's like, let's spend the time and the effort and the money to make this microscopic version of the Bible. I don't know. So anyhow, while we're waiting here this morning for my guest to arrive, he should be here momentarily. I just want to direct people again to the website, wwgh1071.com. And you can go to the archive page. And I'm going to kind of throw a surprise here. I've got another person here in the studio with me this morning, Glenn Coble. If you listen to this station, then all of you, I'm sure, are familiar with Glenn Coble. He has a show here. And in the minutes while we're waiting for my guest to get here, may as well spend a few minutes talking with Glenn. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning. That was a surprise. But it's not more of a surprise than putting all the effort to do a Bible on the pinhead.
You know, Glenn, you and I disagree on a lot of things, but I think that's one thing that we agree on.
I guarantee you
and,
we do.
And as a big a fan and as big advocate as I am for the Bible, I don't know, it just seems kind of crazy. So.
And who paid for it?
Well, that's the other thing, too. It's like, so probably some things we don't want to know about.
Yeah,
that.
Probably. Yeah.
So, Glenn, you know, you and I haven't really talked. We don't hardly see each other very often.
Not
but
a lot.
The anniversary show, Thursday night.
Yeah, that was fun.
A week and a half ago. It was a good time.
That was a great time, yeah.
It was really good.
We had a good time. It's always nice to be around a bunch of people that enjoy each other. And yeah. We do, yeah.
We have different backgrounds. We have different philosophies. We have different beliefs, but it's a good group of people.
Yeah, it is a good group of people. We've had, I don't think we've ever had any problems with any of the people that have worked here. I mean, there are some that have come and gone just because it's, you know, that's nature of life. But almost everybody that's worked here has been very friendly, very open-minded. We have people like yourself who is a pastor. We have people like me who is an atheist. We have people right in the middle. We have people all over the place, and yet we can still talk with each other.
And be friends.
Yeah, yeah. I like that.
Yeah, it's a good thing. So how long have you been on the station here?
I started in September of, right after I got my derriere pounded in running for state's representative. It must have been September of 18, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I think. So what's that? Almost 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So how did you get connected up with the station here? Did somebody ask you, or did you ask them, or how did you come about?
I think I was on the station because I was running for office, and I told Scott at that time I had been in radio since I was 16, and I just love radio, and he said, well, why don't you come do a show? So I did.
All right. So when you say you've been in radio since you were 16, what kind of radio did you do?
Well, I started out kind of helping out a local radio station, and I can't remember the call letters, but it doesn't make any difference, and I just read news. And if you listen to any of my shows, you know I'm dyslexic. So my reading of news wasn't going to go very far. and then when I went away to college, I was an engineer. I got my what they used to call the first phone license, which meant you could be an engineer on radio. And you did have to have a first phone license in every radio station. That has changed. And so I was an engineer, and I loved doing the voice stuff, so I did it. And I had a terrible voice. I worked very hard to make it a little bit better. And then I was in college, and a group got together and said, why don't we write a radio play? So we wrote a play called Power Prof. And lo and behold, I was Power Prof.
And he had a voice like that.
And I did Power Prof. We did that for about a year and had a lot of people following us. So, and we even got into a contest for radio plays, and it was kind of fun.
Oh, that's great. If you want to just hang on 1 second here.
Okay. apparently our guest can't get into the station. I guess I can keep on talking if you don't mind. And Pastor Craig and I are going to probably get together, and we're going to talk about why I am what I am. I hope I don't offend people. Like I told Pastor Craig, I am so proud that my father was a minister and that my mother and sister were devout. I mean, they were devout. Us and both of them are gone now, but it made them wonderful people. I hope I'm just as good with a little bit different attitude. I'm going to get out of here.
Glenn, thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for helping me.
No problem.
Barry, I'm going to have you sit right there in the chair where Glenn is getting up out of and put the headphones on. And it's good to see you this morning. Miss Carrie, it's good to see you.
Good morning. I'm sorry.
I'm not
trying. Thank you for coming here this morning, Barry. And folks,
my pleasure.
Let me introduce you to Barry Hensley. Barry Hensley is he is a friend of mine. We haven't known each other for very long, just under 2 years, but I consider him a friend. Most importantly, he's a brother in Christ.
Amen.
And Barry is, the reason he's here this morning is I wanted to have a conversation with Barry about he's a musician in a Christian band, and I want to talk about different aspects of that, give a little plug for their band. They've got a gig coming up here in the near future, but I wanted to have a chance to talk to Barry. So, welcome, Barry.
Thank you. Welcome. Thank you.
And thank you for coming, because I know you are in the praise and worship band at the church that we both call home, Shining Light Baptist Church, right here in Marion.
Yes, sir.
And I know that service starts at 11, so you had to do your part, and then you had to run out the door to get down here in time, so I appreciate that.
Yes, we did.
As I said on the radio before you got here, we made arrangements with your pastor so that you're not in trouble for an unexcused absence. So
I thank you very much, because I didn't have a note from my mom.
I think we talked about that, didn't we, Glenn? And he's not going to have a note from his mom. But. So, Barry, you are currently a resident of Marion. How long have you been in Marion, Ohio?
I am 58 years old. I was born and raised here in Marion, Ohio. So we have lived here that long. I've been here that long.
Great. So when did you start out as a musician? When did you start playing? What did you play? What kind of life as a musician?
I started playing drums when I was 9 and a half. I come from a very musical family. There was 4 drummers, 2 bass guitar players, and 1 lead guitar player in my family. So it was almost born into me, I guess, but God had a bigger plan from where I started, from where I finally received him as my personal savior. I was playing country music with my dad and my brothers all those years until my taste kind of changed. And that was right when I was 18 or 19. I started playing in a rock band with local musicians here in Marion. Very talented gentlemen, very, very talented for what they did. So they kind of brought me along, because I never played that type of music before. So it challenged me, which I liked. Played that for quite a while. Made a living at playing music for a while before I got a job. Playing 3 and 4 and 5 nights a week. So I basically thought I had the world by the horns. Young kid making quite a bit of money, making my own hours basically, but it was empty for the longest time that I didn't even realize it until God started showing me things.
So what kind of happened, you know, if you would don't mind sharing your testimony, kind of what happened to you that you reached a point where you're like, okay, this isn't working, I need something different?
Woke up one day very empty, and I thought I had to make a change, and it was that big of a knock. So when that happened, I knew that the only way for me to make the change is I was going to have to sell my equipment. Because if you're an active musician here in Marion anyway, you get calls a lot. You know, hey, can you set in? Can you play? Or would you like to join the band? Well, that was very tempting for me. The flesh had a very, very big hold on my life when it came to that. So I knew that the only way that things were going to change was I was going to have to quit for a while. So I sold my equipment. And when I did that, people would ask me, call me and ask me to play, and I'd go, you know what? I don't even have a set of drums, so I can't play. But then Satan stepped in, and the guys would go, oh, you can use my drummer's drums, or I've got a set of drums that you could play. Till I kept saying no enough, even though the temptation was there, and it was a very strong temptation. The more that I said no, the more the Holy Spirit gave me confidence, and the more that he worked on my heart, that I was able to go, can't do it anymore. So the calls finally stopped when they knew where I stood. I wasn't mean about it, wasn't boastful about it in a way. Well, I belong to Jesus now. I can't play that type of music. It was, I said, my heart isn't there anymore. My heart's changing. I thank you, but I can't do it anymore. So finally the call stopped.
So then at some point in time, then you got back into music, but as a Christian.
Yes.
Playing Christian music. So how did that come about?
My wife, Carrie. We had talked about, she would ask me every so often, do you miss playing? And I would go, nope, really don't. Don't miss the rehearsals, don't miss being away from home. And the atmosphere that I was in, because it's a wonder that I didn't, I'm just going to shoot straight from the hip, it's a wonder that I didn't end up with addictions of every type, because it was there when I was playing in the secular world, and I did it all, just about all of it. But I think God was protecting my heart because it just didn't stick with me. So I told Carrie one day, I said, you know, I go, I think the Lord's calling me to play again. And she goes, are you sure? I go, because it's on my heart. And I said, I can't get rid of it. And she goes, well, you don't have any drums. I said, no. I said, that's just going to have to be worked out. So we got more back on our income tax one year than we thought. And we always pay bills with that and do things for the house. And we were sitting across the table, and she counted out, she goes, how much do you need? And I go, I really don't know. So she counted out quite a bit of money. She slid it over the table, and I remember this to the day. She slid over, she said, go order what you need. If God's calling you, we can't stop it. So that's how that started.
Now, let me ask you this. Time-wise, from the time that you got saved,
yes,
until this day,
yes,
how much time was in there, roughly, approximately?
It was about 10 years, 12 years.
So you actually, there was a long period of maturing there for you as a new believer. You went through a period of maturing, and then you were listening, and you were feeling that call from God.
Yes.
All right, so then tell us about when you bought your drum sets. Then what did you do?
I started looking for musicians. Started praying. And there were several musicians that I played with that came from the same arena that I did. Played in the secular world, felt the tug, gave their heart to Christ, and had played with them in the secular world at one time. So we came together, started writing material, which I'd never done before. I was always a cover drummer, playing everybody else's stuff. And that band was together for approximately 2.5, maybe 3 years, I think, until it was no longer for several different reasons. And then again, it was another long period of time, but I still had the desire. I didn't give up. And then the gentlemen, the folks that I play with now, were cut from the same cloth as I was. Played in the secular world for the long time, longest time. And God pulled them out one by one, changing their lives and changing their heart, and they brought the guys to our church. And from there, that's where the current band that we have now, which is a very, in my eyes, is a very powerful ministry for what God wants to use us for. And that's where I'm at today.
Okay. Now, the name of that group is Under the Blood.
Yes, sir.
And about how long has this group Under the Blood been together?
About 3.5 years.
3.5 years.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about it. You know, you mentioned that, you know, you were writing a lot of original music. Tell us about the group. Do you do any cover music at all? Is it all original? Kind of just tell me a little bit about it.
Well, Jared Maurer, which is one of our guitar players, and Glenn Montes, who sings with our praise and worship band, they were playing in a group called Silence the Grave, which was another gospel rock group that was a little bit more progressive than what I ever played. And my abilities to that were very limited. So we started, as Glenn would say, we're just going to throw something up against the wall and see what sticks. So we came from the same era. Glenn and I did, basically, was the late 60s, early 70s, and very early 80s secular rock and roll. So we started messing around with some of those rhythms, but we knew that we weren't going to go that direction as far as the words and all that. So we started throwing stuff up against the wall, and it started sticking. So we sound, it's very unique. It is a southern type of style of a heavy rock melody, I guess. But everything that we write about is about our life's journey. So it's not you can understand every word that we say. That's one thing I like about it.
I got to stop you right there, Gary, because okay. There's a couple things I just have to say. I mean, this is, you know, I want you to talk, but there's a couple things I have to say. But I sat in on one of your practice sessions.
Yes.
A couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm going to say is coming from the fact that I was there and I've listened to you guys. And first thing is, one of the things that occurred to me that night when I was listening is there's almost, and by, I don't mean at all that, like, you guys copy music or anything like that, because you don't, but there's almost like a little bit of Lynyrd Skynyrd in some of your music. And, you know, that was one of my favorite groups, you know, when I was growing up. So, you know, you just kind of hear it. It's, some of your music has a little bit of that flavor to it.
Yes, sir.
Talking about Southern.
Yep.
The other thing, too, that you just said that is extremely important, because I was talking about this on the radio last week. If any of you were listening last week, and I was talking about, you know, I had been asked by an individual, how do you find a good church? And so I was kind of last week talking about the criteria for determining, you know, a church, if it's a good church or not a good church. And I was talking about the emphasis being on, obviously, the Bible teaching and the doctrine.
Yes, sir.
But when I was talking about the music last week, I was talking about how the fact that when I had teenagers and we'd go to coffee shops and stuff and cafes where they would have live music, and of course we went to ones that did Christian music.
Yes, sir.
You know, the two things that I impressed upon my children, or tried to impress on my children, is they can say they're a Christian band, but if you can't understand the lyrics, you have no idea what they're saying. And that, to me, was always very important, that you must be able to understand the lyrics so that you know what the band is saying.
Yes.
And when I sat in with you guys that one night, you can understand the lyrics. You can hear what you guys are singing.
Amen.
It may be rock, but you can hear what a person is saying. And to me, that's extremely important.
I do agree. The message has to be clear. If you muddy it up, or if you stick your own self into it, then it doesn't allow the Holy Spirit to work, and then you're, as my dad would say, you're talking out of the left side of your mouth. And I really didn't understand that until he explained it to me, which is a hypocritical type of mindset, just to pacify. And that was one thing when I was serious about giving my life to Jesus that I could not do, would not do, had no desire to do, because for him forgiving me for a sinner that I am, and blessing me with things that he would want to accomplish through me by the Holy Spirit, how dare me to do the opposite? And I don't have the heart to disappoint my Lord.
So all the music you guys perform when you do a performance, whatever, all of your music is original, right?
Yes, sir.
You don't do any cover?
No.
Okay. You know, to many people, the name Under the Blood is obvious, but I don't want to assume that it's obvious to everybody.
Sure.
So kind of tell me about the name, Under the Blood.
We had, I would say, 300 or 400 names, or maybe even more, that we had we threw around for the longest time, wrote it down every time something came to our mind. Well, our pastor, in a lot of his sermons, will talk about using the phrase, it's under the blood. And he explained that. Under the blood would mean that our sin and our transgressions are washed through Jesus Christ. So it's under the blood. If we've ever been in a position where somebody took advantage of us or wronged us in any way, our job is having parts of the fruits of the, having all of the fruits of the Spirit as we gave our life to Jesus, is that the long suffering that you and I have had an opportunity to talk about, Brother Craig, in depth, and I thank you for your information and your knowledge on that, is that it's washed, everything that you would ever do to me or have done to me in the past, it's forgiven. It's under the blood. No reason to carry that baggage. Through our music, we pray that we are able to share that message with folks so they can understand what true forgiveness is and about living a life for Jesus, what it truly means. We are not stiff-necked. We are not thinking that we're better than other folks. We live a life that pleases our Heavenly Father, that will touch lives around us by the Holy Spirit working through us because we're found faithful. Anything that's ever been done to us, it should be washed under the blood, because if we can hang our Savior on a cross and He forgives us and gives us an opportunity to serve Him and spend eternity in heaven with Him, who am I to say that I can't do that?
Amen. Amen. So, when you were playing secular music, you made a living at it.
Yes, I did.
I know for a fact you're not making a living at it today, playing Christian music.
And I don't care to. I don't need any money playing for the Lord.
Because that's not the motivation for it.
No, sir, it is not.
Amen. All right, so you guys have a gig coming up in July. Saturday, July the 17th at 4 o'clock at the New Beginnings Church on State Route 316 in Asheville, Ohio.
Yes, sir.
If somebody wants to find out more about Under the Blood, if they want to hear some snippets of your music or hear some of your music or find out more about you, how do they do that?
We have a Facebook page. We really don't have a real big media outlet as of yet. We have a Facebook page, and it's just Under the Blood, and it may say Under the Blood Band.
Yes.
And then
if you go to Facebook, you can do Under the Blood Band, or you can do Under the Blood Marion, Ohio. I did it both ways and found you guys that way.
Yeah, so. It should be there. Now, the picture that is there should be some new pictures. We acquired a new guitar player, and it's Jared Maurer, very, very, very talented musician, a man with the heart of God. And that's one thing I can say about each and every brother in Christ that I play with, is that there's no doubt where their heart is at, and no doubt they walk the walk and talk the talk, as we always say. But you can see the life of Christ in them. That's what holds us together. The other two guitar players that we had, the type of music that we do have three guitar players, and some folks may think that that's overbearing. We, in my honest opinion, through God's grace and mercy and His direction, we handle that very well. And that's not a bragging thing. I'm just saying we handle it very well. With that amount of power, guitar power, I guess. And
take that, ZZ Top.
Yeah. But everyone that I had being blessed to play with, because I'm going to be honest with you, the talent that is in that band, I feel like I'm the low man on the totem pole. These guys are so talented and so gifted. I just think that I'm blessed to be along for the ride so I can back up what they do.
Amen. All right. So now I understand from looking at your Facebook page that you guys also are going to be playing in September.
Yes, sir.
Saturday, September 4th at 7 o'clock at the Road to Damascus Church in Galloway, Ohio.
Yes, sir.
Now, prior to COVID, you guys played, I believe you played the Popcorn Festival here in Marion.
Yes, sir.
And you've played some other things. Last year was not a good year for outdoor music.
No, it wasn't.
So things are starting to come back.
Yes.
So you guys have a couple times you're playing now, and hopefully in the future there will be more.
Yes, sir. Our heart right now is for the city of Marion. And it's not that we're afraid or not getting the opportunity to venture outside our city limits. We truly believe that evangelism needs to be first started in your own back, unless you're called, you know, to go to other places. I believe evangelism needs to start, in your own backyard, because the unsaved is all around us. If God decides to use us to see a soul saved by the music that we play and the message that we give, fantastic. But if we plant a seed and somebody else is able to lead that person to the Lord, that's good. That's amazing and wonderful too. We would like to do as much as we can around the city in Marion and the counties. Just for my travels, not passing judgment, but I see a lot of folks that I know that just don't have Christ in their life. Not because I'm peeking in their windows and watching them. It's because I can just tell.
Yeah.
You know, you can tell. So we want to do a lot here in Marion as much as we can.
I mentioned that you and I both call Shining Light Baptist Church our home.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I don't get to be there as often as I would like since I'm doing this. But
yes, sir.
Shining Light Baptist Church also believes, like you believe, about, you know, reaching the community right there in Marion, that there's a big need.
Yes, sir.
And Shining Light Baptist has some community outreach. Why don't you share that with our listeners, some of the things that the church is doing in Marion?
One of the things that we do is the first, the second, and the fourth Friday of every month, we have a community dinner. All are welcome. We have a lot of good cooks in our church, and we have those cooks have a heart to see people not only physically fed, but spiritually fed. So we open up the doors about 10 till 6. The food is prepared. We have the opportunity to serve the folks no matter who you are. Come on in. Then I get an opportunity to give a devotional. Sometimes I get long-winded because I can tell that they're hungry, so I need to learn how to be a little bit quicker in my devotion. But it starts at 10 till 6. We start eating about 5 after 6 till everybody's done. And then after that, they're more than welcome to hang around for a few minutes. And if they have any questions about anything, if we're able to help, we'll do our best. And that's the first, the second, and the fourth Friday of every month. We've been doing it for several years now. But then when there are five Fridays, we do it four times. We do it the first, the second, then the fourth, and the fifth. And I know that there's other places around town that are doing the same. So we have an opportunity to feed them physically, but hopefully that we're also feeding them spiritually with the Word of God somewhere in that mix each time.
Now, if my calendar in my head is correct, I believe this coming Friday is a fourth Friday.
Yes, sir.
All right, so that dinner is available this coming Friday.
Yes, sir.
What are some of the other outreach that the church does?
We support a lot of missionaries. We have a young gentleman who just ventured, that had been called by the Lord to go to South Carolina, if I'm not mistaken. To witness on the college campus down there. So we support him monthly, along with the other support that he gets from other folks, other churches that are supporting him. So we take part in that. We support two orphanages in Haiti that we've had the opportunity for the last 2 or 3 years. So forgive me if I'm not direct. I just know it's been at least a couple of years, possibly 3 years, that we support financially for the orphanages, and we've seen some good changes there as far as their diet goes and their clothing goes, because Brother Craig, the 100% of the money gets there,
right?
And that we are able to tell. We also we have the Lottie Moon and the what? The bread ministry that we have on Wednesdays, if I'm not mistaken, where we are able to give out bread to the folks that truly need it so they can put something in their cupboard and used to make sandwiches with, or whatever they need. So several missionaries, the bread ministry, and every once in a while we're going to do some, we have things that we want to do outside where the community is welcome, ice cream socials. We may even play, Under the Blood may even play on the front steps on an evening, just to have an opportunity to play for folks and to share testimony and share God's word through our music.
We've got about 3 minutes left.
Sure.
Tell everybody about the blanket ministry.
We started this 2 years ago. What we do is we had the opportunity to speak with the sheriff's department, police department, fire departments. And what we were asking is, how can we be of help to you folks? Because we pray for them, all the first responders, military, all the folks in that arena, we pray for weekly. And they said, what is it that we can help with? And they said, well, when they come upon homeless folks or people that have had fires, it's cold, especially during the fall and the winter and early spring. So we bring in blankets to give to those folks so they can pass it out when they are on a run or a call. And we started putting socks in there too.
So, and these are all brand new blankets. These are not used blankets. These are all brand new blankets, brand new socks.
Yes, sir.
Great. All right. We've got just a couple minutes left here, and so I just want to kind of recap a couple things.
Sure.
That folks can find out about your band. It's on the Facebook page. Go to Facebook, and you can search under Under the Blood Band.
Yep.
Or Under the Blood Marion, Ohio.
Yep.
You can find out a little bit more about it. And, again, you guys are playing coming up here July the 17th. Down in Asheville, Ohio, and that information is on your Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
You are playing on Saturday, September 4th in Galloway, the Road to Damascus Church, and that information is on your Facebook page.
Yep.
And I would encourage people to check it out. I know that when I scrolled down, there were a number of your songs that you can listen to about a minute or a minute 15.
Yes, sir.
And so it's really kind of cool. It'll give folks a chance to get a flavor of your music and keep their eye open. In case you have any dates coming up here in the Marion area, people can find out from your Facebook page. I'll certainly let people know that if you guys are going to do anything locally, and people can come check you guys out. Barry, let's take a minute. I want to pray for you, pray for your band before we close out here.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you and I praise you that Barry was able to make it over here to this studio this morning, that Barry was able to share about the band, but most importantly, share about his heart for the Lord and his heart for you, Father, and what it is really that the band is trying to accomplish, to share the gospel so that the unsaved people out there can know about you. So, Father, I just thank you for this opportunity that we've had. Thank you that Barry is here. I just ask that you would bless Barry and his wife and his family, that you would bless the band, that when they're out there, that they can take the message of you, they can take the message of a loving God, of a Christ that desires to see people come to know him, to come to know you, the Father. So, Father, just thank you. Just ask that you would bless them. These things I ask in your Son's name. Thanks again, Barry, for being here. Appreciate it. In the closing moments here, I just want to encourage folks to go to the radio website, wwgh1071.com. You can hear this broadcast on the archive page after tomorrow. You can hear any of the other broadcasts that we've done from the archive page. If you go to our website, studyhiswordradio.org, you can submit questions, you can submit comments, you can submit prayer requests. Also, too, Barry mentioned they support a missionary, Sean Higgins. I interviewed him here on May 2nd. Go to ratiochristi.org and find out more. Thanks again. We'll talk to you next week.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, your place for politics. For Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump,